I'd like to speak tonight to the witness of Christmas from the scriptures here, the witness of Christmas. In Luke chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Join me in prayer here for a moment. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word, and I pray that you'd speak to each of our hearts here tonight. And Father, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And Lord, it's appointed the men once to die, and after this the judgment. And Lord, one day we'll all stand before you. So Lord, help us to consider the topic of the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and the witness that bears witness of what he's done. So Lord, bless us. And Lord, help me be a vessel that honors your Son and your word and brings glory to your holy name and advances your kingdom. So bless your word to our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some years ago, Donald Gray Barnhouse tells this story. He was a teenager at the time there in this large city, and there's like him and four other guys, and you know, you get bored sometimes. You know, the guys just go, "I got to do something here." They get an idea, and so what they decided to do, they went down to a busy intersection in the town, and they just started like pointing up at the sky. And then they, among this is all planned, okay? And one kept saying, "There it is." And the other one says, "What is it?" And the other one says, "Oh, wow, I think it's a plane." And no, it's, and they started yelling at each other. And so people walking by, they're like, "What are these guys?" So some people started standing, and they just kept fighting about this, and they're just pointing at nothing. But they got others. So pretty soon a big crowd started to gather, and they're all looking. And so this was all planned, one by one. What they did was they kind of faded away from the crowd, and they stepped back, and they stood away about 10, 15 feet up against the wall, and they just watched this crowd of people all stand there pointing at nothing that they started. And they were just dying laughing because it was totally foolishness. But they got all these people pointing at the sky, and they heard one guy walk by as he was leaving. He goes, "I think it was a balloon." Anyway, so, you know, when I read that story, you know what I thought about? Isn't that just like Satan? He'll get us looking at nothing and distracting us from the most important thing. And what's the most important thing here at Christmas? Jesus Christ. You know, what did the scripture I just read right here? "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." You know, people can come to church and go home. People can even read the Christmas story, but somehow it doesn't sink into their hearts. They know it intellectually, but they don't know it by experience, what a Savior means to them. They don't know what the Savior means as the Son of God. Now, if you were to go to court and you'd have to testify, what do they want you to do in court? They want you to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, right? They want to know what happened. That's called being a witness. It's called being a witness. And I don't know if you ever thought about this. In Matthew 18:16, it says, "If he will not hear thee, take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be what? Established." Okay? That goes back in Deuteronomy chapter 17 and 19, that God says if there's going to be a trial, or if there's going to be, if somebody's accused of killing somebody or whatever, you can't just take one person. You got to have a witness of two or three to convict them. Well, in God's working here, when he had his Son come into the world, have you thought how many witnesses he gave? Have you thought about how many witnesses God called forth to show that his Son was the Savior of the world, that his Son was unique in all that he'd done? God calls witnesses together. Now, Hebrews 11:4 says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts." And this last little phrase, "And by it, he being dead yet speaketh." Now, can somebody be dead and yet they speak? Can they? Absolutely. You have a will? Okay. Do they read your will when you're living or when you're dead? when you're dead. Does your will speak for your desires for how your properties would be? So you being dead, yet you're what? You're speaking, okay? So have you ever thought about the scriptures that all these saints of God that have gone before us, they being dead, yet they speak? Now, if somebody was to deny that Jesus was the Son of God, they're showing some ignorance of some things. One, they don't know the scriptures. They don't know the power of God. They don't know the testimony of Jesus Christ. They don't know the witness of all that have testified of his saving power. You know, God gives us a lot of witnesses here in the Bible. And I'd just like to run through some of these quickly here. Isaiah 9:6. Now, Isaiah lived like 700 years before Jesus Christ was ever born. Now, how can somebody hundreds of years before an event happens in time, hundreds of years before, tell us in detail something that's going to happen way in the future? How can they do it? Because the same God that's from eternity past, eternity future, God sees it all, and God can tell this man 700 years before Jesus Christ ever set foot on earth exactly how it's going to be. What does Isaiah 9:6 says? It says, "For unto you a child is born, unto us a son is given." Okay, a child's going to be born, it's going to be male. "The government shall be upon his shoulder." He's going to be a leader. "His name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called Counselor. His name shall be called the Mighty God." Now stop right there for a minute. What kind of child is this? It's going to be called the Mighty God. Now, some people here on earth, they try to think they're God. Let me tell you, they're not, okay? Don't worry about that. They're not God, okay? They may think they are, but they're not. There is only one God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one, one God. And when Jesus stood before Lazarus' grave, and he said, "Lazarus, come forth!" And that grave busted open, Lazarus walked. That's God speaking. That's God speaking. And his name shall be called the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You know, Scripture's amazing. All the prophets of old that have talked about the birth of, even where he was going to be born, in Bethlehem of Judea, right where he's going to be born. And not only Bethlehem of Judea, there's actually two Bethlehems. They named the very Bethlehem he was going to be born in. You know, Scripture's amazing, but that's a witness that God gave. Now, how about the angel Gabriel? Was he a witness? He sure was. God sent Gabriel to Mary, and Gabriel testified, "Mary, you're going to have a son." And God said, "You're going to call him Jesus." And God and Mary said, "Well, how will I know this thing? How is this going to happen? I don't know man. I've never known a man." Angel said, The power of the Holy One of God shall overshadow thee and cover thee. And you shall conceive in your womb, and what is born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now let's think through here this for a minute. I'm going to take a test here, okay? This is a survey. You don't have to write anything down. You can nod your head if you want to. You don't have to nod your head if you don't want to. Okay, now the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now last time I checked, all means all, and that's all means. All means everybody, okay? So when the scripture says all have sinned, now just take a test here. 10 commandments here. I'm just going to put a few out here. Has anybody here ever told a lie? Why are you laughing? Has anybody ever told a lie? How about two lies or three lies? How about more lies than you can keep track of if we're honest here, okay? So if you tell a lie, what does that make you? A liar. Okay? Well, that's one of the Ten Commandments. Let's try another one here. Now, this is by survey. Has anybody ever stolen anything? Pretty quiet in here, isn't it? Anybody ever stolen anything? Taking something that's not yours. I think that's in the Ten Commandments, isn't it? So if you steal something that's not yours, what does that make you? A thief. Has anybody taken God's name in vain? Use God's name in an irreverent way? Have you ever attached God's name to something in such a way that it wasn't respecting his name. Anybody ever done that? That's one of the Ten Commandments. What's that called? That's called blaspheming. That means you've spoken injurious of God. God doesn't like that, period. Have you ever lusted? You ever looked on a woman with lust? You know, that's number 10, thou shalt not covet. Because you're looking on something that's not yours, and you would like it to be yours. Well, how'd you do on that little survey? Anybody pass 100%? Yeah. Anybody, or are we all guilty? The thing about Jesus Christ, why he was the Son of God, see, all of us have sinned. None of us are as good as God. But what Jesus Christ did from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ came into this world, born of a virgin. He didn't have an earthly father. If he had an earthly father, you know what? He'd be a sinner just like you and me. But because his father was a heavenly father, he could live a perfect life we could not live. And so when the scripture says here in Luke 2, the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." You mean that God loved me enough when I was a sinner, that I've broken his commandments, I'm guilty before him? If I stood before the judgment seat of God and he says, "How'd you do on the Ten Commandments?" And I said, "Not very good, God." And would he pronounce me innocent or guilty? He pronounced me guilty. And because he's a just God, that guilt would condemn me to hell forever because I've broken his laws. Is there any hope for me? Now, if you're in a court of law and the judge says, you know, "I fine you $500 for this crime, whatever," and you hit your wallet and you know you don't have $500 to your name, you don't even have 5 cents to your name, and somebody walks up and says, "Sir, I see the predicament you're in, and I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pay your fine for you." And you look at this guy like, you pay, I don't even know you. You pay my fine? Absolutely. And he writes a check out, hands to the judge. Can the judge in righteousness let that guy that owed that $500 that couldn't pay, can he let him walk out of that courtroom a free man? Sure could. Because why? The fine had been what? Paid. How do we walk out of the judgment of God? What's the good news? Jesus Christ paid for my sins. I'm free. And so the witness here, when the angel said, "For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Now, all have sinned, but God says, "I got something else for you. Good tidings of great joy shall be to all people." And last time I checked, all means all, and that's all means. That means you and me, we're in that all people. We can be saved from our sins. We don't have to die and go to hell. Now, God told the angel Gabriel. Gabriel told Mary. God told Joseph. Joseph gave his testimony. He married Mary. The wise men come along and they traveled for many months. And God revealed to them that this is the Savior of the world. And they finally find Jesus and they bow down before him and give him the gold and frankincense and myrrh. The witness of the wise men. And then we had the shepherds. And if you read further down here that we read earlier here, verse 20, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen." They were a witness as it was told them. And then further on in this chapter here, you have Simon in the temple, and he rejoiced that he says, verse 30, Simon said, "For my eyes have seen thy salvation," as he held the Christ child. God revealed that this was, he gave a testimony. And Anna also gave a testimony. She said in verse 38, "And she coming in the instant gave thanks likewise to the Lord and spake of him to all them that look for the redemption in Jerusalem." You know, all these witnesses. And did you know today there's some living witnesses of what Christ has done? Because if you're saved, now tell me this. Do people change easily? Why you laugh? Because you know, people don't change easily. But what takes a man that's a drunkard and a thief and makes him into an outstanding person when he meets God? You know why? Because God changes his life. If you're saved, all things are passed away. Behold, all things become new when you're saved. One person said it like this after he got saved. He said, my wanter changed. He said, I used to want to sin, but now I want to do those things that please God. He said, my wanter changed. I have a different desire in my heart. You know, there's living witnesses today of what God has done. Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So this Christmas season, don't let Satan get you with a crowd standing on a street corner, staring up into space, thinking about whatever's, and you miss Emmanuel, God with us, that Jesus Christ is in the world. Because it's so easy to live our life and get distracted from the main message that God has for us, that he is the Savior of the world, that he's come in to this world, veiled in humanity, died on the cross, rose again from the dead, victorious over the grave for my sins and your sins. I'd like to close with this story. Some years ago in Korea, there was a Christian businessman. And he had a friend that was a dentist. And he wanted to open a new office, and this was in Seoul, Korea. This is where this fellow lived. This dentist wanted to open a new office, and this businessman lived where he wanted to open his new office. And he said, can you find me a place that I can open up my new business in? And the Christian businessman to his friend said, sure. 3 days he looked. The only problem was housing was very scarce in Korea, very expensive. And after 3 days of searching high and low to try to find a suitable place that he could open a dentist business and have housing for him in the same, he says, I finally found a place, but I tell you, here's the situation. The roof leaks, the walls have holes in it, it's run down, it's in a bad neighborhood, the people around them are just terrible, but it's the only house I can find for you, and it's very expensive. But the guy wanting to get his life started and new business, he says, I'll take it because I know how short housing is. So the owner of the property, they put a down payment on it. 3 days later, they wrote a check for the total amount, gave it to the guy. And the guy says, hey, can you do me a favor? I haven't quite found a place to move yet with my family. Can you let me stay here another day or two? And the guy said, sure, no problem. Well, 2 days went by, then four, then a week, then a month, 2 months, 6 months. The guy wouldn't move out. Now, in Korea, this is how it is. They know that Christians don't take other Christians to court, and Christians are hesitant to take unbelievers to court because how do you ever win them to the Lord if you just got a lawsuit against them? And this guy knew that this guy that bought his house was a Christian, and so he was not obliged to move. And it got so bad that Brother Kim, the Christian businessman, he felt bad because he was in the middle of this. And he said, when he goes see this guy, tell him, you got to leave. The guy would laugh at him. He said, I'm not leaving. And so Brother Kim shared this story at a meeting with some other Christians. And he said, what do I do? This guy, we bought the house, he won't leave. So he asked his friends at this meeting, what do I do? And they said to him, well, Brother Kim, all you were was an agent, and the law says he has to move so you can get eviction orders and get him out of there and tell him to move. And they all in one voice said, tell him to move. He says, okay, I hear what you're saying, but I want to ask you a question here. And as a Christian businessman, he spoke to this group. He says, now, I'll tell you this. He said, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came and he hit his chest like this, came to this old, worn-out house that was broken down, the roof was leaking, full of sin all around it, and he bought it. He bought this. And he said, as a Christian, Jesus Christ wants to live in your heart. But are you still living there, the old man, and not letting the new man move into his rightful property and take control of it. He says, sometimes we as Christians, we don't let Jesus Christ in. Yet he owns the house. He said there was silence over that assembly. Because sometimes we know the truth, but we don't let Jesus Christ in. But he owns the house if we're saved. He owns it. So I ask you tonight, when it says here, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What does Lord mean? It means master. Jesus said to some people one time, why call me Lord, Lord, if you won't do the things I what? Say. And at this Christmas time, sometimes, you know why people don't live for God? Because they don't know God. But if you know God, you want God living in and through you. Now, you might say, well, I like my sin, and I'm going to enjoy my sin. I say, okay, well, you can do that, but I tell you this, it's only for a season. Now, how fast does life go by? Do you remember your first car? Has it been a lot of years since your first car? Do you know what I'm saying? Has it gone by just like that? Do you remember your little red wagon you used to play around with and had such a good time? Doesn't life go by just, that just seems like yesterday. Here we are. And do you know, life's going to go by so fast. And the thing is, if we know God, we want to live for God. And we want to make sure that we know God. Because we know God, we're going to live for God, and we're going to let him live within our hearts. There's a verse in Scripture that says, Jesus said, he came unto his own, but his own what? Received him not. Don't have that testimony. If you know God, let him live in your heart. Let him take control and let him move into the property and be your God and your Savior. Well, let us pray here. Dear Heavenly Father, with heads bowed and eyes closed in this moment in eternity, God, Father, some of us would not have done very good on the Ten Commandments, Lord. And Father, if we're all honest, none of us would pass even the Ten Commandments. And Lord, we're all guilty before you. I thank you that the blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, who died on the cross, was buried, and rose again from the dead for us, can cleanse us from all sin. Lord, you're willing to forgive. You're willing to save. You're willing to cleanse. If you're being here tonight, that in the quietness of your heart, you say, Lord, I'm not sure if I had to die today, I'd go to heaven. I don't know. That's an honest question. But it needs an honest response. And if God was to knock on the door of your heart, what would you say to him? Would you say, go away? Or would you say, come in? If you're not sure that you're saved and you'd like to settle that matter once and for all, just I want to pray a simple prayer, and just in the quietness of your heart, pray after me. Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I deserve to go to hell. I've broken your commandments, and if I was to stand before you, I'd be found guilty. But I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and was buried and rose again for me. Because he lives, I know that I shall live also. And that's my hope. Lord, come into my heart and save me from my sins. I'm trusting you to take me to heaven. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And for others here, if you're like the tenant that wouldn't move out, if the Lord Jesus has bought your house and you belong to him, but you're not living for him, maybe he's in the house, but there's rooms and closets in your house that you have not yielded to him. There's an area of your life that you haven't yielded to him. I pray that this night would be a night that you would come clean and surrender yourself to him completely. Lord, I pray for each one under the sound of my voice that whether it's for salvation or sanctification and surrender, that you'd speak to each heart. And I pray you do your work of redemption so that there can be great joy in each of our hearts this Christmas season. I thank you for Emmanuel, God with us. So bless us as your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.